KBTC, a viewer-supported community service of Bates Technical College.
From KBTC Public Television Studios in Tacoma, Washington, welcome to the Steve on the Street podcast, a closer look behind the headlines as public policy and current affairs impact the real lives of real people.
Welcome to Steve on the Street podcast, produced by KBTC Public Television's Public Affairs Program, Northwest Now. I'm your host, reporter and photojournalist Steve Kinkins. This episode of the podcast, we're talking about cybersecurity. It's a segment within the information technology sector that is just exploding right now, in part because of artificial intelligence. So between 2023 and 24, Washington's Attorney General reported 11.5 million with a target of data breaches. That's more than 150% increase over the previous year's reporting. And this last summer, SeaTac International Airport got hit by ransomware. In November, the state agency running Washington's court systems were shut down to a computer virus. And in January, law enforcement in the South Sound conducted a sting where they busted a suspect accused of swindling thousands from an elderly woman deputies say was duped after clicking on a fraudulent pop-up advertisement that told the victim her bank accounts were hacked. I mean, who hasn't received notification in the mail about one of these scores of organizations we do business with that were yet again hit by data breaches? Capital One, Equifax, JP Morgan Chase, American Financial, Facebook, Yahoo, Boeing, Comcast, Fred Hutch, Seattle Public Library, Highland Public Schools. They've all been hit. I know I'm missing others. Malicious actors, scammers, foreign governments are all working to hijack our data for multiple reasons. That's fueling a surge in incidents and driving a high demand for skilled professionals that for now can't possibly fill the number of open jobs. But that's where we actually find some good news. Just in Western Washington alone, there are two national centers, and they're pumping resources into improving education nationwide. Not to mention, community and technical colleges are filling the gaps with certificates and associate and bachelor's degree programs. Next on the podcast, take a listen to our coverage from Northwest Now.
You take one of these network cables.
Leroy Williams knows IT. He's enrolled at the Center for Cybersecurity at Clover Park Technical College in Lakewood.
If you build a good, strong foundation, you got a good understanding of what's going on. It has a...
Williams says his military training relates to the curriculum and plans to graduate this summer with a bachelor's degree in cybersecurity. But before diving into artificial intelligence, network intrusion detection methods, or system penetration testing, students learn the basics with hands-on training.
What a computer is, the hardware, how to repair it, put it together, take it apart.
Whatcom Community College is host institution to two national centers.
Michelle Robinson from the National Cybersecurity Training and Education Center at Whatcom Community College in Bellingham aims to advance industry education across the country and help fill the gap between qualified candidates and open jobs.
You'll notice it said there's like over 10,000 job openings in Washington State.
As the demand for trained professionals keeps growing, so too are the number of attacks. The Washington Attorney General reports the number of data breach victims in our state exploded more than 150% over 2023. The office administering Washington's courts networks believes swift action thwarted a probable data exfiltration attack last November, saying a computer virus from a malicious pop-up advertisement forced delays with gun sales, background checks, and other services until the network was restored. The Port of Seattle refused to pay ransom in an August attack that threw ticketing, baggage handling, and other services at SeaTac Airport into chaos for weeks.
Get out of the car now!
Hands up!
Get out! Face away from me!
In January, Pierce County Sheriff's deputies arrested someone they say tricked an elderly woman from Ashford out of $14,000 after a fraudulent pop-up ad claimed her bank accounts were hacked.
We believe this is not isolated to this one event. Other agencies have informed us that it might be connected to cases they have.
Really flexible, close, not far from where I live. You know, they got hybrid training, so you could be in person, or you know, you can do it on online.
Williams praises Clover Park's program and sees a promising future. He explains cybersecurity to his less than tech-savvy friends and family in a way that hits home.
So how I would approach it was, do you lock your money, right? And would you like to keep it safe?
As the industry is expected to grow, Clover Park Technical College instructor Jeff Turner believes a solid future can be earned in the South Sound.
It's a match made in heaven here, and it's right here in the edge of Tacoma.
In Pierce County, Steve Kiggins, Northwest Now. He's right. There's a ton of resources right here around Puget Sound for students looking to find training with components and curriculum related to multiple information technology sectors. Bates Technical College offers computer repair and technician certificates and associate degrees in cloud computing and networking technology, information technology, and cybersecurity. Bates also has a brand new course of study where students can earn a bachelor's in public safety administration, learning to manage climate change-related disasters, pandemics, and cybercrimes. Clover Park Technical College offers certificates and associate degrees in its network operations and system security program. Clover Park also offers bachelor degrees for computer science and cyber-physical software engineering, mechatronics engineering, and cybersecurity. Next on the podcast, listen to an extended interview with program instructor Jeff Turner about how the South Sound fits into the industry and what professionals can expect in the field. You see this the way the industry is. It sounds terrifying.
It should be. And then it should be. So one of the things that you're in dealing with security and to a lesser extent in safety, you're always fighting against is they don't want to spend the money. And everything's working now and we didn't get ransomware yesterday. Why should I spend the money on improving a system? And if you're well protected, you balance it out. Maybe you don't need to spend the money. But usually you have somebody, usually it has to be outside, an outside entity like a pen tester or a vulnerability assessment or a risk assessment come in, and they look at all your systems and they'll say, well, you know, for a company doing what you're doing of your size, we would normally see these other protections. And whether it's a vulnerability assessment or pen test, we exploited this vulnerability and then we exploited this one and then we exploited this one and then we got to the patient records or we got to the ACH file for a bank, or we got to whatever. And so we think, and then here's our recommendations, we think you need to implement these controls. If you don't scare them a little bit, they're not gonna spend the money. They're sitting there, whether it's, and we deal at the high level like governance, so above management is governance. We deal at that level where they're balancing risk. Not just our risk, they're balancing all kinds of risk, business risk. And so we're just another, I don't know, person at the table with their hand out in security saying, we need this system and we need two people to operate this system. It doesn't operate itself yet.
Well, clearly the need is there. If we've got the Attorney General's office documenting these repeated data breaches, and that's just a small segment, I'm sure, of the security risk. I mean, this stuff seems inescapable.
And I would say to an extent it is, you're always playing against time. Part of the thing with the repeated breaches, one is that now you have to report breaches increasingly. There are a bunch of regulatory regimes that require it and with a time limit. So you've got to do it within a certain number of days. And the other is, as a large enterprise, yeah, you've got a whole bunch of controls in place and you also have a whole list of things that you would like to implement. Some of them are going to take time to implement to get systems arranged. Some of them are money. Some are just changes, and maybe not changes in government so much, but you'll see companies buy other companies. Well, when two companies merge or one acquires the other one, you just acquired all of the risks in the other company. And I'll guarantee you, if they thought they were being sold, they're not going to invest in themselves because they're not going to get money back out of that. So their security development maybe stopped 3 years ago. But it was worth, you know, we wanted the intellectual property, we wanted the talent, whatever we were after, the market. So we bought them. Now you just got all their risks. And we've seen quite a few breaches where the information systems of the two companies, you know, obviously they need to get combined, and they had different security architectures, and one was at a lower status than the other, and so that one was the one that got breached. But not much here to look at. Let's go over there now, because now we're connected. And we sometimes call it third-party risk. Target is an example. Yeah, they lost all the customer records. They didn't come in through Target. They came in through a service company that managed their buildings. But everything is automated now, so they had administrator credentials, so they got compromised. And they looked in the service company and go, there's not much here. This is, you know, it's not that interesting. Let's go over there. And whoa, there's the target database. And out it goes. That's called third-party risk. Third-party risk is not as well structured as far as how you assess that as it could be. That is rapidly changing. NEs are getting involved in it. But how do you assess somebody else? They have their privacy. In some cases, it's in their interest to try to sell you on their security, and there's ways, like international certifications, there's ways to do that. But right now, it's the Wild West. Every company has like their own third-party risk assessment mechanism. So we've got graduates working at Costco, and that's all they do is third-party risk assessments. Walmart has their own. Believe it or not, the accountants of all people are trying to standardize it. My wife's a CPA. when we go in and do a security audit, or we do an audit, if it's an audit, a CPA that has a license has to be at the head of that. And there's rules, and there's a lot of education that goes behind how you do it. But they don't know information systems, so that's why we're there. So we're on their team. It's a business for them.
Talk about business. The curriculum you're teaching, it seems like this is on a trajectory to Mars and beyond. I mean, it's endless.
Yes, cybersecurity is exploding. It's a growing field. If you'd asked me 7 years ago or so, did you have people in your associate degree move right into cybersecurity? We would have said no. That never happened. And then there was enough openings, enough demand, that we started seeing even people with a 2-year degree could get into entry level into cybersecurity. They could go be the assistant compliance officer at a bank. They could be, or a credit union, they could be the intern at a penetration testing company, and we're not going to trust you with the technical stuff, but you could do social engineering. And so we've got students that's how they broke in, and then they moved to the technical side where it's more interesting. Social engineering is just like really sleazy. You're testing the training of employees, and you're trying to convince them to do something against their security policy. So whether it's clicking on the link or taking the survey that they're going to get the $5 Amazon gift card, or letting you in the building and you're not supposed to be in the building, there are all kinds of human tricks where you want to help people, we're going to exploit that. You want a little bit of greed, or we're going to do a trade-off, we'll exploit that. And then we take that back, and that portion of the penetration test is, again, you're testing the training of the employees, that we think, you know, you need to improve training or not, and this is why, and this is what we did, and this is how we got in. We'll do that routinely. So everybody's going to get a couple emails. If you click on it, you're toast.
I've gotten those phishing attempts from HR, and got called out for it.
And then you had to do training.
But I was trained. I was trained because I failed. But how do you even define cybersecurity if it's not just the infrastructure and the technology? It's the people.
So the people have always been the weakest link. If we were just worried about computers, you could secure all that, and yeah, you'd have vulnerabilities because computer programmers made a mistake at some point and somebody figured it out. That was still human. Humans today are the weakest link, whether you're reusing your username and password and it gets compromised somewhere else at a sports club, but it's the same one that you used at work. When we go in and we can go to a company and figure out, I don't even need much. We can figure out who works there, and then using whatever their format is for usernames, we can figure out what their username should be. Then we can go on the dark web and we can check databases and go, okay, does this person or something like this person exist? And I'm going to take all those passwords that I bought for nothing almost on there, we'll throw it in a machine, and we'll brute force everybody that we found to see if we can get in using their password that they use someplace else. Again, the humans are the weakest link. So don't reuse your passwords.
So no wonder that this industry is exploding like you described it. There's a million and one different ways to take advantage of a vulnerability, and every entity seems to be vulnerable.
Yeah, there's the biggest thing is probably automation is everywhere. It's in your pocket. It's probably in several of your pockets. Your banking, your groceries, everything is relying on automation now, so it's everywhere. That's one. There's money in it. People, criminals have figured out how to exploit it, so there's money in it. The amount of that money has increased in ransomware is just, that's just a flash in the pan the last 5 years. But that got people interested where this is absolutely business. We can make millions. And if we're in a country where you can't get us, we don't even have to necessarily hide our identities. We can still make millions, and they're doing that. And I'd say crypto is another one that Turner's opinion. Crypto doesn't have a purpose.
It seems to have a purpose of fleecing money.
The only useful piece of that is we can maybe try to hide our identity, and then who needs to do that? Our criminals. And I got it, blockchain, so we should be able to trace this stuff. But if they can get it out of their hands and recover it as cash before you catch them and try to seize their Bitcoin or their whatever, their Dogecoin, they got away with it. And there's a whole network that is involved in that too.
How do you describe the industry in terms of locality? You talked about a little bit earlier where these high stakes kind of technology companies really exist, and that's north of here. So what does cybersecurity, the industry, in terms of jobs and availability look like in Puget Sound compared to elsewhere, and how does your program attempt to attack?
So before COVID, if you're doing entry-level anything, your employer wanted to see you face-to-face, and so you're really local jobs. So you're competing with the other college graduates and people in the industry in Olympia, Tacoma, the surrounding, maybe South Seattle. There are 10 times as many jobs in Seattle as there are down in our area, and they pay more because it's Seattle. After COVID, remote work became more acceptable, a lot more acceptable. So now those opportunities, some of those opportunities in Seattle are also open to us without having to commute. That was a big change. Ransomware was a big change where that became a threat to everybody, even small and medium businesses. And so now they had to get secure. And so we're seeing whether it's somebody that gets hired on a staff or a consultant that comes in and does this part-time or does it as a service. If you're a big company, you have a security operations center that's managing your network and monitoring everything and responding. If you're a medium company, you don't have money for that, so you're probably leasing that as security as a service. So that part of the industry has exploded. A penetration test is an assessment, a realistic assessment of how secure you are. Increasingly, more regulatory regimes, whether you're in the banking industry, you're in the medical industry, you're in infrastructure, so you're a power company or you're a water company, increasingly you're having to have penetration tests done by an outside entity and then documenting the result as part of the regime that you're in. And the same thing with auditing. We're seeing an explosion in all of that. We've had a small setback with President Trump coming in and canceling all of the advisors for everything. There was a committee that was advising Critical Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, on what should be the security of things like telecoms. We had the Chinese and our telephone companies recently. That really perked that committee up. We've had rules for power transmission and generation companies for two decades called NERC. We were expecting something like that to come out for other utilities like telecoms and water utilities and other companies or other utilities that we trust and we need to have the use of to survive as a society. You don't last long without water. And then, like I said, it's a temporary setback. It'll get put back together, and hopefully there'll be some rules and regulations put out on that.
You don't paint a very rosy picture in that current reality, unfortunately.
So yeah, I'm the harbinger of bad news. And I was in the Army 30 years, and I was that, you know, you don't want to see the safety or the security guys show up. We're not in, you know, when you look at production and who's making money, we are considered overhead. We're not a revenue generating area. And then that said, if you want to get motion on any of these needles, if you want to, you want to get the meter to move, you've got to get people's attention and get them motivated. And so, yeah, I can be the harbinger of bad news.
How do you convince folks, or maybe this is not something you have to convince, someone probably likely has to have an interest in computers or technology to even start the program, but it seems, at least from a layman's perspective like myself, it's a pretty steep learning curve. Is this beyond the pale? Is this?
It's not. So Clover Park is hands-on, and with any occupation that you decide you want to go in, you better have a passion for that occupation, or else you're going to hate it.
Sure.
And you're not going to get ahead, and you're not going to be successful. So yeah, we want you to come in with an enthusiasm for computers. We start with the basics, with what a computer is, the hardware, how to repair it, put it together, take it apart. And then we go into the operating systems, how does Windows work, a little bit of how Mac works, a lot of how Linux works. A lot of people haven't heard of Linux. Linux is an operating system. It's been around a while. It's free usually. It's run in more than half the web pages in the world. It's run in all the data centers in the world. So that transition from being a hobbyist computer enthusiast to being a professional, you're going to learn Linux. So we do that. We're training initially those first two quarters to be that entry-level position, help desk, computer repair, computer technician. We start right after that into being a system administrator, which is usually going to be your second job. So who runs all those servers? Who sets the systems up? You know, who says what the rules are going to be? Those are system administrators. So we spend the next four quarters, so a associate degree program is six quarters long. We spend the next four quarters training to be a system administrator and going to higher levels of security. So in the first quarter, you're going to get a fundamentals of security class, a lot of the things that you got in your training with your company, and a little more. They'll do another class that goes to a higher level we call Security Plus. And then they're going to have what's called an offensive security, offensive server security class. And that is taking the things that we talk about attacking. So how do you use Metasploit to attack something? How do you do a vulnerability scan? And then there's the vulnerabilities. Is there an exploit? How do I use the exploit? Okay, let's do that against the target. They do that against servers that they've created in order to learn how that process works. You know, how does the attacker work? And then also, what do I have to do on the server side to secure that so that I don't have the vulnerabilities so they can't exploit it? So we're already up at that level in the associate degree. They finished down here with routing and switching. And so they've had an introduction to networking class their second quarter. Their sixth quarter, they spent half of it doing small and medium business routing and switching, and then enterprise level. And they end up with Border Gateway Protocol, which is the routing protocol that runs the internet. So they'll understand at that level. That is how everything is connected. That's how people get into your systems. That is where an awful lot of your security arrangements are sitting on those networks so that they can't get into your systems. So yeah, we need to know some networking.
In terms of, I just have just a couple more questions for you. If you talk to the feds, they say every day of the week, China's hacking every system they can find, and twice on Sunday. In terms of America's response and training and talent pool, where does that exist and how does our region fit into that reality?
The U.S. is pretty good in cybersecurity education. Awareness is a constant battle. So with employees. I don't know, we're sitting pretty good. We've got a lot of, when you look at security products, who is selling security products out there that are the best in the world, a lot of them are U.S. I would venture a guess to say most of them are U.S. There's a fair number that come from Israel because they're always under attack too. vicious slander attack. And we speak English, and that's kind of helpful because an awful lot of the internet is that. And then region-wise, and I have folks that look, and they look at Silicon Valley, and I've got a brother down there, who, computer programmer, who works in Silicon Valley. If you ask who has the best operating system in the world, bar none, it's Microsoft. And they're not in Silicon Valley, they're here in Seattle, and all their contractors. Who has the best e-commerce in the world, bar none? They're not in Silicon Valley, it's Amazon, and they're right here, they're in Seattle. So as far as the area goes, you couldn't ask for a better area. And then, obviously, this is a beautiful place.
You answered the question. I mean, really, it's evident by where the powerhouses exist.
They're here. And then with, you know, with the internet and with our now comfort with not being face-to-face, you can exist in a lot of places. Like, we've got graduates that are here, living here, that work for East Coast companies that do penetration testing for them. Because when you're doing a pen test, that company is at the other end of the internet. It doesn't matter if they're next door or if they're in Thailand, you don't care. They're just an address you're attacking. And then once you get in, you're walking around inside their building.
That's right. Microsoft and Amazon, they're not in Silicon Valley. They're right here in Western Washington. According to the Occupational Information Network, a penetration tester, also called an assurance validator or an ethical hacker, professionally evaluates computer networks and applications and systems to sniff out vulnerabilities and analyze an organization's security measures. It's a new and emerging occupation and expected to grow rapidly in the next several years. Landing a job as a penetration tester in Seattle or Tacoma or Bellevue can earn on average $136,000 annually. It's more than $30,000 over the average salary nationwide. I mean, okay, that's great, but what are the rest of us supposed to do to protect ourselves? So the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, part of the Department of Homeland Security, admits online security is difficult for a number of reasons, such as adversaries can operate from anywhere on Earth, and the way that physical systems interact with cyberspace and the reality that information networks are complex can make it difficult to minimize consequences and vulnerabilities. Okay, so I didn't just imagine that last paragraph and spit it out to you. I literally rephrased and rewrote language shared by CISA on its publicly facing website. And my takeaway from that document is this. Cybersecurity is hard. No kidding. And so it looks like the best practices are the things we've all heard about before over and over. Things like using and updating and not repeating strong passwords, and keeping software updated, being wary of suspicious links, especially in email, and using multi-factor authentication methods wherever possible. And those are what CISA calls cyber hygiene, and it claims will improve our online safety. No wonder the scale of attacks continue rising. No wonder we see the growth in cybersecurity. Thanks very much to Clover Park Technical College and instructor Jeff Turner for sharing your voice on the broadcast and podcast. And thanks to Leroy Williams. I do like my money. And of course, thank you. Thanks for taking the time and effort joining me on Steve on the Street podcast. Choosing to spend your time here listening is support I really appreciate. Thank you. Once more, I'm reporter and photojournalist Steve Kiggins from KBTC Public Television's Northwest Now. Until next time, cheers.